Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fidelity Next, a podcast for post-secondary students brought to you by Fidelity Investments Canada, where we'll provide you with the tools you need to navigate your impending career successfully in today's landscape. Are you stressed about exams? You're not alone. Today, on a special episode of Fidelity Next, we're discussing how to avoid burnout during the exam season. Jesse Serafian, digital creator and event marketing manager, who you may know from our Invested in Wellness series, joins April Kokshut, co-owner of Zen & Tonic, clinical herbalist, certified nutritional practitioner, and registered psychotherapist qualifying RPQ, on an engaging discussion on how to navigate exam season stress-free. From sleep to taking proper breaks, to nutrition, social media, and more. Enjoy. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of Fidelity Investments Canada ULC or its affiliates. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be construed as investment, tax, or legal advice. It is not an offer to sell or buy, or an endorsement, recommendation, or sponsorship of any entity or security cited. Read a fund's prospectus before investing. Funds are not guaranteed. Their values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated. Fees, expenses, and commissions are all associated with fund investments.
Hello, and welcome to Fidelity Next. I'm Jesse Serafian. I'm super excited for today's show. So before we dive into the discussion, I want to remind everyone, unique and have different needs and to speak to a doctor or medical practitioner before starting any program. So April, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be back. What a great topic to discuss.
Yes, I agree. So welcome to our show. So for our viewers who are meeting you for the first time, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you started Zen & Tonic?
Yeah, that's a great question. It was actually pretty close after university. I had my own health concerns. University is a stressful time, and that stress can manifest in so many different ways. And, you know, I started having some digestive issues after all that stress from university, and I just felt like I couldn't get the support I needed. So I went on my own journey, healed myself through nutrition, through stress management techniques, and acupuncture. And I wanted to share this passion with my community and support them and find the underlying issues to their problems. Live happy and healthy.
That's fantastic. So I think that will be a great segue into what we're talking about today. So we're talking about how to avoid burnout during exam season specifically. So why do you think this is such a hard time?
I think you can ask most any adults out there what was their most stressful time. And I'm going to say more than 50% is going to say. University is a time where we're going through so many different changes. We're really going through a lot of growth in our lives. We're really discovering, you know, who we are, what are we going to do in this, you know, next independent section of our lives. There's a lot of pressure we put on ourselves and that we feel from, you know, the environments around us. And that can really cause us, a lot of us, to burn out. And when we burn out from overstudying, from not eating properly, from not taking care of our bodies, you know, that's going to affect us for years to come. So that's why it's really important, you know, for students to take the time, step back, get in tune with their body, take the breaks when their body is telling them to, and encourage some healthy habits, which we're here to support.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And it's a big transition too from, you know, leaving home. Some of them live on campus and they're living on their own, trying to, you know, make meals on their own as well. So that's a big time for them. So we're going to dive into some helpful tips for students and how to prepare for exams. So what are some 5 tips that you recommend now and beyond?
Yes, exactly. Really hard to nail it down. But, you know, in terms of university, looking back, what I wish that I really focused on to really support me and adolescents and students, sleep, number one. Okay, so, so important. At any age, sleep is important, but especially at an age, or, you know, in your mid-20s, we still need a lot of sleep, especially for our mental and cognitive ability. Okay, taking regular breaks. You can only absorb so much information. We got to take those breaks. Nutrition. You are what you eat and absorb. So, of course, that's going to support us. And, you know, a lot of people forget our brain is made of fat. That's a key macronutrient. We got to feed our bodies the right one. Hydration and caffeine. And then last but not least, I'm sure no one wants to hear this, but limiting social media, which in this day and age has never been so important.
Those are great. So all great tips for sure. So we're going to start with the first one, which is sleep. So sleep is so crucial for everyone, but is it more important than pulling an all-nighter for extra studying? So if so, what are some key ways to support our sleep as a student?
Yeah. So if you want to ace your exams, you have to start acing your sleep schedule, number one. Okay. Pulling all-nighters can sound like a great idea. You know, let's not study. Let's just study the night before, cram everything in, and we'll wake up or go straight into the exam knowing everything. But that can be detrimental to your memory, your cognitive function, and your actual effectiveness of writing that exam. Okay. Sleep is very essential to memory, to attention span, and to our logical reasoning. So if we're going into an exam and there's any problem solving or memory involved, if we're sleep deprived, we're not going to be getting the best mark we could be if we got quality sleep. Okay. And it's really important to understand it's not just about the quantity of sleep, it's about the quality of sleep. So we want to make sure, you know, we are getting, if we're, you know, in our mid 20s, you know, adolescents, late teens, we want to be getting at least 8 hours of sleep. It's clinically proven that we still need 8 hours of sleep at that time of our lives to have the best rest for exams or, like, you know, efficient functioning. Okay. So quality of sleep. If you're waking up in the middle of the night, getting less than 8 hours of sleep, or just taking naps throughout the day versus a long extended period of time, you have to support your sleep patterns. So, you know, some really good ways to support, which I would really encourage students to do, is A, sleep at a consistent time every night. If you know to get those 8 hours, you have to go to bed at 10 p.m. or 11 p.m., go to bed consistently every night. Your body loves that. It wants to create a schedule. Okay. Another really important thing is the best time to go to bed is actually 10 p.m. for students. I'm sure that's really early, you know, so I would aim to sleep no later than 11 p.m. Right. So if you're thinking about pulling that all nighter, just be like, no, I'm keeping my sleep schedule consistent. That's my one sleep goal. And I'm sticking to it. Okay. And last but not least, to support that, I would really encourage students to limit napping to 20 minutes a day. Do you remember napping in university? Did you ever take naps?
I love to nap. Love. But 20 minutes seems so short. And then you put an alarm and then you're like, oh, I just want to sleep just 10 more minutes, just another 10 more minutes. So that can also make you groggy.
20 minutes is actually the perfect amount of time to, you know, just allow your body to have a bit of that relaxation, that, you know, take a bit of that stress off so that we can reset and then we can get back into studying fully alert and ready to absorb material. So I would say a nap between 5 to 20 minutes is the sweet spot. Any longer is going to affect your night's sleep and you probably won't be sleeping as long or be tired enough to fall asleep.
Those are really good points. Not only sleep is important in the evening, taking breaks throughout the day to recharge is also a big one. How should we go about scheduling those breaks in throughout the day?
Yeah. We can put so much pressure on ourselves to, like, oh my gosh, the exam is tomorrow or it's in a couple days. I feel like I know nothing. I'm just going to cram all day long and put as much information in my mind as possible. That is not really efficient and it's not going to help. If anything, it can actually be detrimental to your memory and your logical thinking. It's actually been proven that, you know, for those doing the best on exams, it's proven to take a 5 to 20 minute break every 90 minutes to maintain your most effective amount of productivity, motivation, and focus. Okay. After 90 minutes, you kind of start, you know, getting bored or you get anxious or stressed, or your body's ability to actually store that memory, it starts decreasing. Okay. So instead of pushing through and studying and cramming for 3-4 hours on end, make sure you take a break, step away from that computer screen, step away from that textbook, and go do something that's telling your body, hey, you're no longer stressed about studying, you're safe, let's take a break, let's release those healthy, happy energy hormones like dopamine, and let's reset. Okay, so very important. And I would say for students, just like sleep, make a plan, right? So before you enter that exam season, create a plan of, okay, I'm going to study this subject for 90 minutes, and then I'm going to take a break and make those breaks productive. Okay. We talked about napping. That's something. Remember, keep them at less than 20, but other things, consider other activities. This is where, what do you do that makes, you know, you have pleasure in the day or to have fun? Engage that, right? Again, that's going to release those feel good, happy hormones. One of the best things, research has proven it, exercise and the outdoors. Mother Nature, oh my gosh, it provides sunshine and vitamin D, fresh air, and it really allows us to feel calm and relaxed. Okay. Another thing during this, you know, break time, avoid electronics. Okay. I know that's so hard, but yes, digital detox, leave your phone, leave your computer. Oh my gosh, you're on it all the time studying anyways. Make that break productive. And you know what? But to help with scheduling your breaks, use your computer or use your phone. Put an alarm on your phone and use an alarm not only to tell yourself to take a break, but also to remind yourself, hey, it's been 20 minutes. That's a long enough break. Let's get back to studying. Okay. So there's some key tips on how to schedule an effective break and also the reasons why we must take it.
Yeah, those are really, really helpful. And I completely agree. Putting a timer, setting those in, putting it in your schedule. And I remind people too all the time, put it in your calendar. Even it's just 5-10 minutes of getting up, stretching the body, moving the body, or even just, you know, centering yourself, closing the eyes, doing a deep meditation or breathing exercise can really recharge the body. And then you can get on to that next. So now let's talk. Yeah.
I was just saying, it's also a great habit to set moving forward, because I know, you know, even when I'm working with adult clients, they forget to take those breaks in the day and their work day. So setting this in university is not going to only just help you for exam season, it's also going to create healthy habits moving forward into your future careers.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree. So now let's talk about the food we eat. So how does nutrition factor into our studying mode?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, nutrition. We could probably take hours to talk about this. But I don't know, I often hear, you know, I don't have time for a meal. I don't have time to eat. I have to study. I got to cram. I can suppress my hunger. Instead, I'm going to go read that textbook or take all those notes. What happens usually is that results in us grabbing quick fixes. And most often those quick fixes are not very supportive to powering the brain, to supporting extended periods of studying. They're usually going to be quick fixes high in sugar. Okay. Now, sugar is great fuel. It's great fuel for athletes when we're burning that glucose and we're running as fast as we can. It's not the best for our brain, which is made predominantly of fat, and we want to keep our sugar levels and stress levels low. Okay. So sugar, I would say, is counterproductive and is the number one thing I would say to avoid during exam season. When we consume sugar, we get this rush of energy, and then what happens is our body eats it up very quickly. And then we hit this kind of like crash and we get really tired. So when we consume sugar, we're going to have these kind of peaks and valleys of energy, which is not going to be very, you know, conducive to having prolonged energy. Okay. So instead, what I would suggest is, just like your breaks, schedule in mealtime. Make sure you have your main meals of the day. Schedule in that breakfast. So important. Schedule in that lunch, take a break, step away from studying, and schedule that dinner. Main meals are going to be high in those foods that we need to support that cognitive ability, that brain health. That's going to be mainly protein and fat. Okay. Main meals also are fairly low in sugar, right? And we have some good carbohydrates, some sweet potatoes, some rice, some quinoa. That's all fine, but it's not predominantly sugar. Okay. So that is what I would say, you know, in regards to nutrition to support that exam season. Focus on those main meals and, you know, try to reduce that sugar intake as much as possible.
Great. So what do you think is a typical, I know some students tend to grab like quick grab and go meals or a quick grab and go sandwich. So what are some like easy breakfast alternatives or tips that you suggest?
Yeah.
easy breakfast, easy lunch, easy dinner that incorporates all of those healthy fats.
That's a great question because, again, we're a bit stressed. We're focusing on those studies, not on food. So something just like oatmeal, right? Have some oatmeal, throw some berries on top, right? Super, super simple. Another thing, a smoothie, right? Add some protein powder to that smoothie, add some greens, add some berries, blend it up. I found that was a really big go-to for me. And then I could bring it with me wherever I was studying, right? And even if I'm not starving, a lot of, you know, students, they wake up feeling a bit nauseous. And oftentimes that's because we're actually really stressed in the morning. We wake up and we're like, oh my gosh, I have so much to do today. And oftentimes what happens is we go in that fight or flight mode and our body's like, I'm feeling a bit nauseous. I don't want to eat anything. And that's a sign that, A, we have to, you know, relax in the morning, take some time to ourselves, but also our body also needs support dealing with that stress. So we do need to eat something. And I find a smoothie is something, you know, especially for students that, you know, I can sip on that in the morning. It's not too overwhelming.
Great. So with those late night studying and prepping, most tend to consume more caffeine and energy drinks. So how do we avoid this and what are some alternatives?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's a great question. I'm pretty sure that's when I started drinking coffee was exam season in university. What about you?
Yes, for sure.
Right. I think that was a start for everyone's caffeine intake. And it can be so easy when we're feeling exhausted, we're feeling tired and we're like, oh, I need energy. I need to study for another 5 hours. And we're told caffeine, right? We don't know the side effects of caffeine. Let's just drink more. Especially also exam season's generally in the winter when it's cold. So why not have like a nice mug hug, something that's warm to keep us warm? Unfortunately, with caffeine, it does the exact same thing as sugar. Okay. When we drink coffee, it's going to, you know, kickstart our energy molecule, which is cortisol, which is also our stress hormone, and it's going to really rise it up. We're going to get a quick influx of energy, but unfortunately, that energy is only going to last for so long, and we're going to crash again. And when we crash, that's when we're like, oh, let's take a nap or let's have more caffeine or let's have more sugar to bring that energy back up. But again, we're going back in these highs and low cycles, which is not going to be supportive to, you know, effective studying. So what I would say is make sure you're hydrated. Oh my gosh, it is so easy to sit at a desk and not eat and not drink. So my advice to all students is make sure you have like a good, you know, 1 liter water bottle with you and make it your best friend during exam season. Yes, exactly. Right. Bring it everywhere with you. Yes, everywhere. And the reason for that, caffeine, it dehydrates you by 2 cups of water. As much as it's made of water, it is not hydrating. So it is stressing the body out. It's tiring the body out. And it's only going to make you more tired in the long run. Okay, caffeine, right? And that's not only just coffee, it's black tea, it's green tea, it's those energy drinks. Its half-life is minimum 6 hours. So if you're having a coffee at 5 o'clock, that's gonna still be affecting the average person until 11 p.m. and keeping you up. And most people, it's gonna affect until 2 to 3 in the morning. So again, you're not getting that quality sleep. You're just sleeping, you're not getting into those deep sleep cycles.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I know for myself, my body, whenever I have caffeine after a certain time, like usually around 12, 1 o'clock, then it affects my sleep 100%. I can't sleep. So one cup of coffee in the morning. Yes. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so now on to the big one, social media. So this is a huge distraction. How can we limit our screen time?
Oh my gosh. It is such a distraction. And, you know, it's not only for students out there, it's also for adults, and social media is affecting all of us out there. And I find with most all my clients, this is where a lot of our focus is for that stress management. Because oftentimes when we're stressed, we want something mindless. So we go ahead and we pick up our phones and we're just on it and we're just scrolling. And before we know it, it's an hour has passed and we're like, oh my gosh, I've been doom scrolling for an hour and I just wasted all this time. And guess what? We're even more stressed. Okay. So we really want to limit our, you know, social media when we're studying so that we can have unbroken focus and actually 100% focus. When we have notifications going off, when we have, you know, advertisements popping up on our watches nowadays, we're constantly breaking our focus and going back and forth. And that way our brain can't absorb and memorize the material we need. Okay. We need to maintain that focus. So something, you know, I work on with clients is A, taking a break from social media during exam time. If you actually sit down and you look at your screen time, oh my gosh, you're gonna be wowed by how much time you spend on your phone and how much time you spend on Instagram and TikTok and Snapchat. I don't even know. There's so many out there. I can only imagine how many hours people are actually spending on them, and we don't even know.
Yeah.
Right? So something that you could do is go on and get educated. How much time am I actually spending on my phone? If it's 5 hours a day, make a goal of like, okay, I want to reduce that during exam season to two. Or if you find it's detrimental, delete that Instagram off your phone. It's not going to delete your profile. It's not going to get rid of it forever. But after exam season, you can re-download it when at any time.
Yeah.
That's going to remove a lot of pressure of I have to post something or I have to like things or that external pressures that we really don't need in ourselves during a time like exam season where we have enough pressure on us.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I definitely suggest. Another thing that you can do is you can actually go on to your settings and you can add an app limit. So I'd recommend doing an app limit for 20 to 30 minutes a day. So you give yourself a little bit, you know, some people love it. It's, you know, a source of enjoyment. They watch dances or funny videos, and I can understand how that can be uplifting. We also just want to make sure that it's not too much time. So
Yeah.
setting app limits can be a really great idea, just as a nice friendly reminder that, oh, you've used up your 20 to 30 minutes of your social media usage. That's enough for today. Okay. I think that's a great idea. And also another great idea, have your study space. Okay. Have this phone on Do Not Disturb and put it somewhere else. Go put it in the cupboard in the kitchen. Leave it in your apartment. We don't always have to have our phone on us. I didn't have a phone until I think I was like 19. I survived. I was just fine.
Yeah.
But understanding that right now we use our phones a lot as protection, or there's almost a source of separation anxiety from it. And understanding you are okay without your phone and allowing yourself to be okay without your phone is really going to support, again, your mental focus. If we know our phone's there and we're waiting on someone to message us, or waiting on an email, or waiting on a TikTok or an Instagram story, our focus is still going to be a little bit on it because it's right there. Our body, our mind knows it's there, but out of sight, out of mind is so helpful.
Yes, I completely agree. And that really stuck with me is especially right before going to bed, we tend to scroll on our phones, and sometimes we'll see something that maybe is not uplifting or happy, and then we close our phone, and then our mind just kind of goes there, and then it turns into a nightmare or a dream, and it keeps us up at night. So I think it's so important to, you know, put that phone away, put it in a different room, as you said. And that's helped me. I now like read before bed, and I find that I'm having some really good sleeps because of that. I'm not looking at my phone right before I fall asleep. I think that's definitely a big one for sure.
Yeah, I love that. And again, these are habits that are not only just specific to students, but these are habits to ingrain in our day to day to set you up for success after school, and your future career. So it's something to look forward to.
Yeah, for sure. 1000%. So our last question, what is one key takeaway that you want our viewers to know?
I want viewers to know that university is hard. It's not easy. You know, there is a level of stress there, and that stress is completely valid. I think, you know, reminding ourselves that it's okay to acknowledge that it's hard or it's difficult and to have some self-validation, I think is so important. Honor your emotions, honor your body, listen to it. It tells you when you need something. If you're tired, understand that I've just been studying for 3 hours. It's okay to feel tired. Maybe I need a break. Maybe I don't need caffeine or sugar and force myself, you know, to output energy. Maybe my body needs me to understand that it's needs a little bit of a break. So I need to step away. I need to get some fresh air. I need to go make myself a meal. I need to go take a quick power nap because that's what my body needs right now to then go ahead and study as effectively as I can so I can do well in my test, which is my ultimate goal. Check in with yourself. You are the priority and understand that. And I think that's a really great mindset to have to and foster that in university. So again, after university, you keep that same mindset.
I love that. That's so true. So check in with yourself. You are in control. Well, thank you, April, for joining us, and I wish everyone best of luck on their exams and beyond 2024. Well, thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Good luck.
Thank you for listening to Fidelity Next, brought to you by Fidelity Investments Canada. For more content from Fidelity Canada, please follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our podcast available on your podcast platform of choice. Fidelity mutual funds and ETFs are available by working with a financial advisor or through an online brokerage account. Visit fidelity.ca/howtobuy for more information.